The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Metziah, Daf Tebet, Daf Tebet, Nishmat Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenehenu Began Eden, Amen, Abraham Siyun ben Nava, Ruach Hashem Tenehenu Began Eden. We begin today's Daf on Pe Aleph Amud Bet, and we begin six lines, or seven lines from the bottom, starting from a quote from our Mishnah. Hilvahu ala mashkon. If a person lends somebody money and he gets a mashkon, a collateral instead, so he's considered a shomer sachar on that collateral. Shomer sachar is hayav on geneva va'aveda. Why does he become a shomer sachar? So we understood because it's a mitzvah that he's involved in watching the what's a mitzvah and making the loan. I think Gemara is going to say. So when a person is involved in a mitzvah, he's patur from a mitzvah. And therefore, technically, this person over here would be exempt from giving money to an ani. If an ani would show up and ask for bread, since he's involved in a loan, so therefore that is a mitzvah. And if he saved money on the fact that he doesn't have to give now this money to the ani, so therefore he gained something. It's like he's getting paid. So therefore he's considered a shomer Sachar, that is his reward. The fact that he is involved in a mitzvah, therefore he's patur from a mitzvah, meaning tzedakah specifically. So therefore, that is considered his reward. Therefore, he takes on the responsibility of watching the mashkon like a shomer sachar. Comes Gemara to explain all this. Then, let us say that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer de Tanya. We have a Mishnah. Right, this is if a person, let's say, lends money and he gets a mashkon and the lender lost the mashkon, so the deen is yishava. He has to swear that he wasn't a posheya. He has to swear that he wasn't negligent, and then he is exempt. Normally a shomer hinam has to swear that he wasn't negligent and then he's exempt. Let's say the item got lost or stolen. A shomer hinam is patur on geneva ve'aveda, so long as he makes a swear that he was not negligent. What do you see from the Bidi Aizah? Bidi Aizah clearly says that what? That a person has a mashkon. After he lent his friend money, he's holding the collateral, so it got stolen or lost. He has to swear that he wasn't a posheh. The yitol ma'otav. Then he says what? Let him get paid. Which is now, he gets his hold back. The guy owes him the money. Devrei Rabbi Eliezer. Which means, Rabbi Eliezer also is teaching us here a very important law. That the mashkon is not in lieu of payment. The mashkon is just a security of the loan, which means, why does a person take a security? According to Rabbi Eliezer, not that if you default, I'm going to keep the security. It's not partial payment of the loan. He looks at his, I don't want this guy to be kofir. I don't want this guy to deny that there was ever a loan. So how do I guarantee that? All the collateral. So now if the guy comes to Beit Din and says, hey, there was no such loan over here. Hey, I got a collateral over here. So it's more like a zikaron to keep the loan alive, that the person cannot be able to be kofir. Anyway, that's the shita of the B in the Aizid, and therefore, you're really not hayav more than a shomer hinam. That is his opinion. Okay? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, please. Rashi starts on Yishava. Yishava shelo pasha. Okay? He should swear that he's not a poshaya. The shomer hinam hu alav. The en adam notel mashkono legovaina. Clearly, he doesn't take the mashkon as payment. Ela liyot batuah bema'otav. He just takes the collateral to insure his money. Shelo yuchal lechfor. So the guy will not be able to be kofir. Ul olam shomer hinam hu alav. But really, his responsibility on it is a shomer hinam sheim avad. Right, which is if this thing gets lost, he doesn't get paid from it. He gets paid from something else. So therefore, he doesn't take responsibility on the item itself. The item itself is not considered his, like a payment.
What happens if the guy doesn't pay? What does he do?
Well, he takes it to Betty, go somewhere else. Doesn't keep the sign. Go take it from another property that he has. And therefore, that's the shita of Rabbi Eli. Is it? Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yachol Lomar Lo Klum El Vitani El Lamashkon. He's able to tell, listen, I gave you a mashkon. Avada mashkon, avdu ma'otecha. Finished. You lost the mashkon. There you go. There's your payment. I'm not paying you. You lost your money. Meaning the borrower could tend the lender. You lost the mashkon. Take care. You lost your money as well, which means Rabbi Akiva looks at it as the money itself is like given as payment. Collateral as payment. And therefore, if you don't make payment, he's going to keep the collateral. Therefore, you don't give my collateral back, I'm not giving you the money back. Okay, so that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So the way I explain it is, Mikivan shesh the malveh kinyan sharbud b'mashkon, since the malveh has a kinyan in the mashkon, if you don't pay me, I'm keeping the mashkon, temurat hana'azu, as a result of this hana'ah. See, that's a hana'ah. That's a benefit that the malveh has. It's guaranteed payment. If you don't pay me, I can keep this item. So from the fact that I have a payment already by me, that's like you're paying me. It's like you're giving me a hana'ah. That's why shomei sachar. So according to the Rabbi Akiva, the malveh that has a mashkon is considered a shomei sachar. Because since he can use it as payment, so therefore that's the hana'ah that he gets from the loveh. That's why he's getting paid, so to speak, as if he's getting paid. Therefore, he has to watch it on a higher level. But she'ekar, according to the Isaac, nah, this item over here, that's not the, it's your item. I'm just holding it over here, just as zikaron, that there's a loan over it. And if it gets lost, you still owe me the money. So therefore, he looks at it as the person is a shomer hinam. But the Gemara says, there's one case where they all agree on. Aval, hilvau elev zuz b'shtar. But if, let's say, a guy lends his friend money, 1,000 zuz, with a shtar, with a document, v'yiniach alo mashkon alehem, and he gave him a mashkon, devrei hakol, avad mashkon, avad ma'otav. Everybody agrees in that case. When you write a shtar, so then already avad hamashkon, if the mashkon got lost, then that is considered his payment. Because once already you have a shtar, she says, Rashi, aval, hilvau elef zuz b'shtar, v'niach lo mashkon alem devrei hakol avdu ma'otav. Deha mashkon vaday legovayna shakal legavot. For sure the mashkon is for payment, to get paid. Why? The stam shtar yesh bo sharbud karkaot. Normally when you write a shtar and a loan, you make a sharbud, which means you put a lien on properties when you put a shtar. V'yesh lo mechan legavot, u'batuahu, which means usually when you write a shtar, you guarantee payment with a shtar. And not only that, v'gam nechfod enu yachol. And now the guy can't deny the loan anymore. Once it's a shtar, I don't need the collateral, so the guy cannot deny it. The shtar proves that there was a loan. And therefore, therefore, it's for actual payment. So the basic rule over here is what, according to the B. Eliezer, a mashkon is the holder of the mashkon, the malveh, namely, is a shomer hinam. That argues on our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah clearly said, hilvau ala mashkon, if you gave a guy a mashkon, he has a din of a shomer, sachar. So therefore the Gemara says, must be our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we don't have a problem with that, but we're just making a statement. Matnitin de lo kerabi Eliezer. There must be the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, afilu tema Rabbi Eliezer. I can tell you that the Mishnah is even going like Rabbi Eliezer. Vela kashya. Kan shemishkeno bishat alva'ato. Kan shemishkeno shelo bishat alva'ato. It depends when he took the collateral. If he took the collateral at the time of the loan from the beginning, that's the Rabbi Eliezer's law. That the collateral itself is not as payment, it's just as a zikaron for the loan. And therefore, if he loses the collateral, Islam swear that it wasn't a poshet, he could still get paid from, he still gets paid from other assets. However, in the case of our Mishnah, I was talking about where he took the loan without a collateral. And then at a certain point, he went and took a collateral. Oh, so at that point over there, when you're taking the collateral, that is as payment. And therefore, once you're taking it as payment, which means if he defaults, you're going to keep the collateral, then therefore it has a din of Eishu HaMesach. It all depends when you took the collateral. Look at that, see the bottom. כשמשכנו בשעת הלוואתו, כמה רבי אליעזר שומר קנם, ומתניתין כשמשכנו שלא בשעת הלוואתו, אלא לאחר זמן, היא טוב, היי, where's my money? כשתבוא את המעותיו בבית דין, ולא שילם, ומשכנו על פי בית דין, then he took the collateral according to the words of בית דין, והוא ודאי לגוון השקלט, there for sure you're not taking it as a you know, commemoration that there was a loan of it, then you're taking it as a payment. So therefore the rule is, whenever you're taking it as a payment, so therefore he has a din of a שומר שכר. So therefore we can answer we could square off and be the Ezer even without Mishnah. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, oh, the ha idi ve'idi, both the Braita and the Mishnah, hilvau ala meshkon ketani. Both words of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Mashma, that the Mashkon was given at the time of the loan.
Oh.
The language is Hilvau al Hamashkon. How could you make a haluk and say, oh, one was at the time of the loan, one was after? It's not Mashma like that from the words. Both cases are Mashma, it was at the time of the loan. So we're back to square one. Must be the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Yabana says, Ela, Lakasha, Kan Shilvau Ma'ot, Kan Shilvau Perot. We're going to make a difference. The difference is, in one case, he lent him money. In one case, he lent him perot. Now, perot, there is a certain benefit that a person gets when he lends perot. Because perot spoil. No, perot spoil. So if it was going to stay by the lender, they would have spoiled. So by giving perot to somebody else, now I'm going to get back new fruit. So therefore, there's a certain hana'a that I get by lending out perot, and therefore the collateral that I get, therefore it's considered like a shomer sachar, because I got a benefit. I lend perot, I know I'm going to get back now better. If I wouldn't have this guy to lend my perot to, they would have spoiled. So therefore, that hana'ah that he gave me ups my obligation on his mashkon. So that which the Mishnah said that the guy's watching the mashkon, the lender, it's considered a shomer sachar, that's why he lent perot. However, Rabbi Eliezer is talking about where he lent money. So he lent money, so then already, and we said the mashkon is not as payment, and therefore he has a din of a shomer, and now making a haluk between what the loan was. You did it with Rabit. You did it with a case to settle the Rabit issue. Say, Abba, say, you fixed it, that it's not going to be a case of Rabit. Whether it was fixed price, however you're going to learn it, you fixed the case where it's not a issue of Rabit. You let the guy perot, and he's paying you back. Perot, in that case, whatever, we're considering him a shomer sachar. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, can't be that either. V'hameh diktani sefa. If you look at the end of our Mishnah, end of our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, hilvau ma'ot. If a guy lends his friend money, shomer chanam. Hilvau perot, but if you lent his friend perot, shomer sachar. That's the Biyuda. Mechlal de Tanakama lo shanile. Must be that Tanakama doesn't make the shaluk of the Biyuda. He don't care between perot, and he doesn't care between ma'ot. In all cases, he's going to be considered a shomer sachar. So we're back to the point to say that the Mishnah cannot be the Bili Eizah. And don't tell me, no, our Mishnah is talking about perot. No. Our Mishnah is from the fact that our Mishnah is coming along and saying that he's a shomer sachar, is ben beperot, ben bema'ot. Because the Biyuda was the one that made the haluk between perot and ma'ot. Mashmat Tanakama did not make the haluk. So therefore, doesn't make the haluk. And if our Mishnah is calling, whether it's perot or whether it's ma'ot, is considered a shomer sachar. And the Biyuda says shomer chanam. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, no question from that. Kula Rabbi Yehudai. I could say that the whole Mishnah, all the opinions of the Mishnah is really one opinion. It's all Rabbi Yehudai. And the Mishnah is actually missing some words. If you have to read the Mishnah like this. Vau ala maskon. You lent the guy money and you got a maskon. Shomer sachar. And you're considered shomer sachar. Bame devarim amurim shil vau perot. When is that talking about? Only when he lent him perot. Aval vau ma'o. Shomer hanam, but money is considered by Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda holds hilvau ma'ot, hilvau ma'ot shomer hanam, hilvau peot shomer sachar, and therefore according to this over here, there's no machloket of Tanakama and Mishnah. It's all the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that makes a haluk between whether the loan was perot or whether it is ma'ot, and according to this, we can square it off according to. We could square off the Mishnah. The Bili Ezer, according to this, in the Braita, that he said in the Braita that a person lends money on the Mashkun is considered a Shomer Hinnam, because we could come along and say that he's talking about money. Therefore, really, he could be in line with our Mishnah. Amishtah was one opinion, by the way. It wasn't two, it was Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda makes shalom between money and pirot. And Rabbi Yehuda was talking about money. And therefore, he agrees with the opinion of our Mishnah. Gemara says, that's all nice. But the only problem, you're going to say like this, that Amishtah is like Rabbi Yehuda, Kama la matnitin de lo kerebi Akiva. Then you're making our Mishnah not like Rabbi Akiva. Now let me just teach you a rule. We have a general rule that says Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah. Whenever you see Mishnah, nameless Mishnah, you assume that that Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Now we know Rabbi Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So all Rabbi Meir's thinking is in line with his rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. And we also learned clearly that Rabbi Akiva says Hamalveh Alam Mashkon, he's considered a Shomer Sachar. Remember, he was the one that argued on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said Hamalveh Alam Mashkon Shomer Hanam, and Rabbi Akiva said Hamalveh Alam Mashkon is a Shomer Sachar. If you're going to say that our Mishnah is all Rabbi Yehuda, like we're going to say now, and therefore we can say Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with our Mishnah, so we have a Stam Mishnah, and you're making it against the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we don't like to do that. Look at that sheet. That sheet tells you, which means that she tells us like this. Top that she's first line. I hachi kama lam anitin lo kerebi Akiva. Diktani aval imelvau ma'ot shomer hanam. Which is, you're going to learn Amishnah is saying clearly that what? Helvau ma'ot, you're calling him a shomer hanam. Ve'anan kama lam asikat sanadin. We hold v'chulu stameh. Whenever you have a stam, the stams work like this. Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifri, Rabbi Shimon. Avechulu, and all of them, Alibad Rabbi Akiva. Which means all the opinions, whether it's Sifra, Sifri, Mishnah, they're all following Rabbi Akiva, because these are all students of Rabbi Akiva. Oh, so it comes out like this. According to this, you can make a Mishnah against Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva clearly holds that what? Malveh, on a Mashkor is considered a Shomer, Sachar. And therefore, by saying that what? That Amishnah is to be the Ezer, what did you do? You basically tried to do is you said, oh, we have one opinion in Amishnah. It's all the Biyuda. It's all the Biyuda. And therefore, I consider be the Ezer agrees with the Mishnah. I said, no. But by doing that, you're taking the Mishnah out of the context of Rabbi Akiva, which is a problem. We don't like to do that. So therefore, you know what we'd rather say? Go back to the original principle. Amishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. And if Amishnah has two shitot, there's Tanakama and there's Rabbi Yehuda. And Tanakama clearly says that a Malvela Mashkon is considered a Shomer Sachar. And Rabbi Eliezer says Shomer Hanam. Who's the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. Stam Tana Rabbi Meir. And the Bimir holds is considered a Shomer, just like his rabbi, the Bi'akiva. And therefore, Shalom Yisrael, we tried to square off our Mishnah to make it like the Bi'ezer, but it didn't work out. Because it came out and you're making it against the Bi'akiva. And therefore, we have a rule, Stam Mishnah like the Bimir, which is a student of the Bi'akiva. So therefore, again, say the Mishnah is Stam, the Bimir, who is a Tamir of the Bi'akiva, and he holds that Malveh Mashkon is considered a Shomer Sachar against the Bi'akiva. Eli Ezer. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, so now we want to understand this about Rabbi Ezer, Rabbi Akiva. Again, what were they arguing on? I lend you money, I get a mashkon. I'm watching this mashkon now. What's my obligation to this mashkon? Rabbi Ezer said, you're a Shomer Hanam. Shomer Hanam means, if it gets stolen or gets lost, no problem, you're off the hook, as long as you swear that you weren't a posheya. According to Rabbi Akiva, he said, no, you're watching this item, you are a Shomer Sechat. So we want to know what degree were they arguing. So Gemara says, Lema, let us say, Bidelo Shave Mashkon Shi'u Zuzeh. Let's come along and learn the case over here that they're arguing in, that Mashkon was not worth the loan. Let's say the loan was $1,000, the Mashkon was only worth $500. The Mashkon was worth less than the loan itself. And let us say the argument is on Shmuel's concept. What is Shmuel's concept? And they're arguing on the Sefer of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Hayman de Usfe Alfa Zuzeh Lachavri, a person that lent 1,000 zuz to his friend, Ve'anach Lekata de Magala Elabayu. And he left them the hand of a sickle as a mashkon. Okay, that's the mashkon that he gave him. Avad Kata de Magla. If he loses it, he loses that, the end of the sickle. Avdu alfe zuze. the Malve lost all 1,000 zuz, according to Shmuel, even though it wasn't worth the 1,000 zuz. But you lost the collateral, according to Shmuel, even if it's not worth it, it doesn't matter. Why? Because he holds that the collateral itself is for payment, and he accepts upon himself that as long as I don't pay you this collateral back, you're off the hook. So that's what Shmuel learns. So bottom, what happened over here? Guy says, you owe me 1,000. Okay, no problem. Give me 1,000. Where's my head of the handle of the sickle? I lost it. Oh, you lost it? Well, that was his payment. You didn't give me back, even though it's not worth the loan itself. Shmuel holds that the deen is, he does not have to pay him back the money if he lost the sickle. Oh, so therefore, we want to say like this. It could be the Bi Akiva and the Bi Eliezer. They argued on this point, that the Bi Akiva holds like Shmuel. And therefore, since he holds like Shmuel, that this sickle is considered as payment, therefore it's considered like a Shomer Sachar. But according to the Bi Eliezer, he holds no, that since the Mashkon is not worth the loan itself, he didn't take it as payment, as collateral. He just took it, like we said, Zikaron, and therefore it'll be considered Shomer Hanam. So again, the first way we want to learn the Machloket over here is it was a case where he lent him 1,000. He gave him an item that was only 500. Rabbi Akiva says, I hold like Shmuel, that holds it. This item, even though it's worth less than the loan, it's still considered as a payment. Nafkamina, if I lose it, he doesn't have to pay me. Also, therefore, he says, I'm a Shomer Sachar. Because again, the rule is going to be, any time the collateral is as for payment.
Lecture mode on.
Any time the collateral is as payment, so then the deen is like a Shomer Sachar. And according to the Bina, the Bina says, no, I don't go like Shmuel. This collateral was worth less than the loan itself. It clearly was not his payment, therefore it's considered a Shmuel. That's the way we want to understand the Machlok. The Bina says, no. If you want to tell me that the Mashkon was not worth the loan, if that's the case, you want to tell me that they're arguing on, Dechule Alma, let Lehu de Shmuel. I can tell you, Ben Rabbi the Ezer, Ben Rabbi Akiva, they're not going to hold the law of Shmuel, and everybody's going to hold that what? That the Malveh is not responsible more than the item is worth. Which means, according to Rabbi the Ezer, I could say that what? He's going to hold that if he loses the sickle, means nothing. He doesn't lose his money that is owed him. And according to Rabbi Akiva, I could say he only loses up to how much the sickle is worth. But I could say that you don't have to say the machloket is in extreme, like Shmuel. I can tell you that if in that case over there, the machloket is only, do you go up to the worth of it or not at all? However, I can tell you the machloket over here is talking about the hacha b'deshave zuzze. Here I tell you where the collateral is equal to the loan. Oh, what's the machloket? They come in palge b'deshak. No machloket. B'deshak's machloket. What's b'deshak? Damar b'deshak. Interesting halacha. How do you know somebody lends his friend money? How do you know that the lender, for certain purposes, owns the collateral? He owns it. He has a certain kinyan in the collateral. It's not the pshat just holding the collateral. He owns it. How do we know he owns it to a certain degree? So the Gemara says, now again, what's nafkamina if he owns it? Big nafkamina. If you consider he owns it, then it's hayav on anything. Even if, let's say, an onus happens to it, or let's say, things that are accident and stuff like that, if you consider it's like it's his, so therefore he is responsible on the highest. Right, more than Shomer Sachar. He's be hayav on even onsim, if you consider it like his. How do you know that the malveh that lends money and gets a car is considered his? So the Gemara says, Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Ulcha tiye tzedakah. It's talking about a guy where he lent money, he got a collateral. When he gives back the collateral, the Torah says, you know what? Skin mazor, you did charity. Says charity. If he didn't own the mashkon, then what's the charity when you say he's giving it back? Ela must be mikan lebal chov shekone mashkon. Therefore, Torah says skel mazol. We appreciate when you gave it back. You really didn't have to give it back to a certain degree because really you own the mashkon when you get it. And therefore, when you give it back, Torah says ulchat yitzadakah. You're going to get the mitzvah of tzedakah now. What does it got to do with the machloket between the Bnei Ezer and the Bnei Yoshua? Oh, so now we say like this. Good. According to this, we could say the machloket of the Bnei Akiva and the Bnei Ezer is on the machloket of the Bnei Yitzhak. That the Bnei Akiva holds like the Bnei Yitzhak. And therefore, that what if he loses this meshkon, so therefore he loses the loan. That's it, which means the loan is connected to the meshkon, and therefore he also going to be attacked that you own this. This is like yours. It's like you got paid already. Now, if the guy wants to give you money, of course you give him the meshkon back and get the money. But if he doesn't, this is considered yours. Nafka mina, you have even on this item. Therefore, you consider shomer schecher. The rule again is, whenever the item is given as payment, you're considered a shomer schecher. And Rabbi Akiva, I don't know, like Rabbi Yitzchak, this was not given as a collateral for payment. Therefore, I'm a shomer chanam until he actually pays me. And if something happens to it, so then, like I said, I just swear that I wasn't a poshe and I get paid regardless. I can say the machloket between the Biakim and the Biakim is to where the meshkon was sheve, the loan. It's equal, whatever the loan is worth. And the whole machloket over is, do we agree with the Biakim or not, that the mazir owns the meshkon? If you say he owns the meshkon, so you got paid. And therefore, something happens to it, so see you later, you don't get paid already, you took the meshkon. That's shomer schecher. It's actually because you got paid already. He doesn't know that it's hot, therefore he's considered a shomer chanam. The verse says, could you learn the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer like that? But this mera, imur de amar Rabbi Yitzchak. When did Rabbi Yitzchak say his deen? Bemeshkeno shelo b'sha'at alva'ato. He only said his deen when you gave the meshkon after the loan, which means after the loan already was outstanding, then already took the meshkon. That's when Rabbi Yitzchak said that the owner, the malveh owns the meshkon. Because that's already, he's trying to recover his money. But if, let's say, the meshkon was given at the time of the halva'ah, mi amar, did Rabbi Yitzchak ever say his deen? Which means you cannot compare a case with like our case of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, where the meshkon was given at the time of the loan, to the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, where the meshkon was given after the loan. What's the hiluk over there? Look at Nashi. Imur, right in the middle. Imur damar Rabbi Yitzchak b'mashkeno shlo b'sha'at alvato. De'a kira b'mashkeno al yedei shaliach bedin ketiv. Dechtiv de'el mineh. The case of Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about the guy wanted to get paid. And the guy didn't have money to pay him. So Betty went in the house and took a collateral and gave it to the malveh, to the lender. Exactly. They're for sure, I'll say he owns it. He took it for payment. You cannot compare it to the case where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer were arguing. They were arguing where they actually got the mashkun at the time of the loan. There is room to say, even Rabbi Yitzchak will say that was not taken as payment. And if this was not taken as payment, you have no da'ayat that he's a shomer schecher or whatever it is. So therefore, again, don't bring me da'ayat. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about where the loan was in default already. Now, Betty went and took a mashkun to Adi, he said, oh, that mashkun really belongs to the malveh. Of course, because that's what he's taking as payment. Mashiach, we're trying to know a case where you gave the collateral in the beginning of the loan, before the loan was due. What is really the Mahalotin of Biakiva and the Bidia is it? So comes the Gemara and says, Ela b'meshkeno shlo b'shat avato. I tell you that if the loan, if the mashkon was taken after the loan was already due, kula ameitu to be Yitzchak. I tell you, they all agree with the Yitzchak. Even the Bidia is it agrees with the Yitzchak. It's taken as loan and he owes the money. Shomer schecher. V'acha b'meshkeno b'shat avato. Oh. And here we get to the source of the mahloket now. The case is talking where he took a loan, he got the collateral at the time of the loan, so where's the mahloket? Upshomer aveda kamepalge. The mahloket is a mahloket that we had a few times, once in Baba Mitziah, in Baba Kama as well. What's the status of a shomer aveda? When I find an object, I found a lost object, I'm holding it. What's my responsibility towards that object? I'm a shomer aveda. What degree is a shomer aveda's responsibility? So the Gemara says the itmar aveda shomer aveda. Rava amar ke shomer chenam. Rav Yosef amar ke shomer sachar. Famous machloket. You have to crystallize this machloket good. I find that aveda. Rava says I'm a shomer chenam for the simple reason. Anybody paying me?
No.
Nobody's paying me. I found that I'm doing you a favor, by the way. I'm holding the object for you. So therefore, it's considered a shomer chenam. Therefore, my liability is limited. However, according to Rabbi Yosef, he is considered a shomer sachar. Why? Well, I'm not getting paid anything. Yes, I am getting paid. You know why I'm getting paid? It's a mitzvah for me to watch this item, to be involved in the Aveda. So what? I need to get paid monetarily. You are getting paid monetarily, potentially, like I told you. Because since you're doing a mitzvah now, if a poor guy knocks on the door, and they tell you, hey, there's a poor guy at the door, he wants a loaf of bread, I'm involved. I'm involved in watching the Aveda. So basically, by being a Shemin Aveda, you're saving money. So therefore, that's your payment. The money that you saved, that you didn't have to give, ta-da, ani, because you're sick, what's up with the mitzvah, makes a shomer aveda like a shomer sachar. Now, what does this got to do with our case? Our case was not a shomer aveda. Our case was a, there was a loan. Oh, so according to this, we're saying, so according to the Bi'akiva, he also going to be Yosef. He's going to hold that what? That when you make a loan, it's a mitzvah to give a loan. Okay? Torah says, lend money. So therefore, you're doing a mitzvah. And you have to say that what? Therefore, this lender will be patur min a mitzvah. Now, even though, I know you can argue and tell me, but Rabbi, the mitzvah is the actual loan itself. So at that moment, once he gives it, the mitzvah is done. Holding the collateral at this point over here, you're not doing a mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah was done at the time of the giving over the loan. So the Mefarshim asked this question over here, and the Gemara wants to say that since Be'etzim, the mitzvah, is to loan money, so therefore the whole procedure, the whole loan procedure, even after, is considered a mitzvah. Let me just read you the Lashon. You'll only be patur from giving tzedakah at the time that you're actually giving the loan. But the logic is like this: for that hana'ah, here's the key, that you gave me at that moment, that by lending you money, I'd be patur from giving an ani money. So I accept upon myself when I'm holding your collateral to be a shomer sachar. It's the hana'ah at the time of the loan, that 3 second, how long does it take to give a loan? The transferring of the check. What are the odds that an ani is going to come at that second? But for that potential rarity, that the ani is going to show up at the time that I'm giving the loan. So I said, why? Well, I did you a favor, absolutely, but you did me a favor also. I got off the hook. So therefore, I'm willing to take this collateral that you're giving me now and accept upon myself the deen of a Shomitzkas. That's basically the mechanics how the Bi'akiva understands the deen. Good? The Bi'akiva understands the he also going to be Yosef, basically, by Shomer Aveda. It's just by Shomer Aveda. He's considered a Shomer Sachar. Same thing, lending a loan to Mitzvah. I saved money at the time of the item, at the time of the living alone, giving a loan. Therefore, I accept it myself. Now, how is the Bi'akiva going to learn? The Bi'akiva is going to come along and say that, like we said, that's a rarity. For such a small window of Hana'ah, that at the time of the giving it a loan, for that 3 seconds you were saved from giving money to an that's not considered enough to be considered, and therefore he's going to consider him a Shomer Hanam, and that is the Mahloket. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, Lema de Rabbi Yosef Tanaehi. Let us say that this Shitav Rabbi Yosef is indeed a mahloket amongst the Tanaim. What is this? Look at Rashi. Let's talk about this mahloket for a second between Rava and Rabbi Yosef. Rava held by Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Hanam. For sure, according to Rava, you have to say that there's a machlok tanim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rava says, I hold a Shomer Aveda as a Shomer Hinnam, even though he's doing a mitzvah and all that stuff. And therefore, according to Rava, you have to say that there's no other way to learn. You have to say for sure Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing. He says Shomer Hinnam, he says Shomer Sagat. It's a machlok. Look at Ashi. Beha Rava Vadai Tanaehi. Da Rabbi Akiva lit le de Rava. That's right. Rabbi Akiva clearly does not hold of Rabbi. He holds his Shomer Sachar. And there's no other way to learn the Machloket. We try to learn it like Shemuel. We try to learn it like Yitzhak. However, Ela le Rabbi Yosef mi mebayel lemat tered Rabbi Eliezer, which means, according to Rabbi Yosef, that says what? That he's considered a shomer sachar. Do I have to say that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of him? Which means maybe I could say like this. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only said his law by a loan. But maybe by Aveda, he could agree with Rabbi Yosef. Which means in Rabba...
More than a month.
Right. In Rabba, we have no choice to say that what? There's a Malchus. Rabba clearly says he's a Shomer Hinnam by an Aveda. And he clearly holds Rabbi Akiva that he's a Shomer Sachar by Aveda. And we have no other way to square up the Bahlo. Which is in Rabba, for sure... the Bahlo, Rabbi Yezim Akiva are arguing in this in these rabbis. But according to Rabbi Yosef, maybe there's a way for me to say that Rabbi Yezim Akiva only had the argument by alone, but by Aveda could be they all agree. How is that possible? So Kazuk Ran says like this. Lema de Rabbi Yosef Tanaim, you have to say the quote of Yosef Tzimachlok with Tanaim? No. I tell you no. Beshomer Aveda de Kula Alma Itu de Rabbi Yosef. I can tell you that what? When it comes to Shomer Aveda, everybody's going to hold like Rabbi Yosef that indeed he is a Shomer Sachar. Behacha Bemalve Sarich Lemashkon Kamepalge. Interesting. You know what I'm going to say the case over here is? What would you say in a case where I lend money? But I'm lending you the money because I need the mashkon. I need the mashkon. You know what? I need this guy's item. How can I get this item for personal use? I got to grant it. I'll lend the money. Now I get the item. Would you consider that a mitzvah as well? Or do you say, no, that's not a mitzvah. You're doing it for yourself. Or I could say, yeah, I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also doing it doing a mitzvah. So therefore, how would you look at somebody that lends money with the purpose to use the mashkon? So the Gemara says, that's the Ma'loket. Morza Barabi Akiva comes along and says, mitzvah ka'avid. It's a mitzvah. Even though you have ulterior motives, it's considered a mitzvah. And why? Shilvau. Bottom line, you lent the money. Vavishu mesachar. Then they go back to the mitzvah business. And therefore you patur from giving tzedakah. That whole story. Morza Barab mitzvah ka'avid. Shilanato mitkaven. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're doing it for yourself. You're lending the money to a mitzvah there. And therefore, v'avi shomer chanam. And therefore, he considered a shomer. According to this, ben Rabbi Akiva, ben Rabbi Eliezer, they're going to say, in a regular loan, I'm not doing it for benefit, for the mashkon. In a regular loan, where I don't need the mashkon, everybody's going to hold what? Like a shomer sachar. Like Rabbi Yosef. And this is how Rabbi Yosef's going to learn. Rabbi Yosef's going to learn. They're not arguing with me. They hold by Shomer Aveda, it's Shomer Sachar. And by the way, they'll hold by a regular loan as well, Shomer Sachar. Oh, their argument? They're arguing in a weird case. In a case where the guy's lending the money, specifically because he needs the Mashkon. So therefore, it's a case where he's lending for the Hana'ah. Oh, then we can have a Mahluk Din, how you look at it. Is it considered a mitzvah or not? But otherwise, Rabbi Yosef will come along and say, everybody agrees with me by Aveda, and everybody will agree in the case where you have a regular loan that's outstanding, that he lent on the Mashkon, is committed a Shomer Sachar.
When you want that item.
Right, that's where the mahlok is going to be. So therefore, let's make this out clear. Rabbi Yosef can benefit and say, they all agree with me by Aveda. Their argument was by a case of lending, in a specific case of lending. Whereas Rabba does not have this luxury. Why does not Rabba have this luxury? Because Rabba clearly says that by Shomer Aveda, he's considered a Shomer Hanam. Right, Shomer Aveda, Kot Rabba Shomer Hanan, and the Bi Akiva, and the Bi Eliezer clearly argued by a loan, is he considered a Shomer Sachar or a Shomer Hanan? And the Bi Akiva, Rabba has no way to learn the Bi Akiva to make him like him. Clearly, he said by a loan is considered a Shomer Sachar, and I say by Aveda is considered a Shomer. So clearly, they cannot agree with me. It's a machloket, Rabbi Akiva. You cannot square them off with me. But Rabbi Yosef says, I can square them off. They can agree with me that it's Shomer Sachar. And the case they're arguing, whether it's Shomer Sachar or Shomer Sachar, is a case where he's using, he wants to use the item, and therefore they'll argue. But in the case of regular loan, everybody will say it's a regular Shomer Sachar, it's considered a mitzvah. Kanzi Yomaran says, Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Mutar le'adam le'askir mashkono shel ha'ani liyot pochet be'odech. This we saw before. I have a mashkon of ha'ani. Okay? I'm allowed to rent it out without him telling the ani, in order to deduct from the money he owes me. I guess that's a benefit for the ani. You know, I'll do him a favor. You know, all of a sudden the guy's going to come to me, he's going to say, okay, I have $1,000 that I owe you. You don't owe me $1,000 anyway, you only owe me $500. Hey, how? Don't worry. I got paid. How'd you get paid? The item he gave me is a collateral. I rented it out to other people. I got money and I deducted it for you. So you could do that without even getting permission from the ani. Amar of Hanan, but I'm Amar Shmuel. Halacha! Ke Abba Shaul, halacha defaz Abba Shaul. Ve'af Abba Shaul lo amar ela b'mara. He only said it on certain collaterals. Like a mara is, I guess, a hoe, that's a shovel. Upasal.
It's A-D-Z-E.
Okay. Let's get the pirush on that. That's like an axe that cuts certain things. Vekardom. Kardom is a cutter. Hoil v'nafish agrayu v'zuta pehatayu. You get good rent for it, and the depreciation is very little. Right? They're usually damaged so fast. So therefore, on those items, no problem. I can lend it out, I get a good price, and it usually doesn't depreciate that much. So only in those items. Okay, so that is the... So now we go to the next Mishnah. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. Ma'avir habit memakom lemakom. Okay. Okay, so guy is transporting a habit. What's a habit? A barrel. He's transporting it from place to place. What happened? He tripped on the road. Ushbara, I broke it. Ben Shomer Hanam, Ben Shomer Sachar Yishava. Oh. Whether this guy that was carrying the barrel, whether he's a Shomer Hanam or Shomer Sachar, he has to swear. Now this already should become very difficult for us. I understand if he's a Shomer Hanam, why he has to swear. Swear that I wasn't a Poshaya. Swear that I didn't do it on purpose. But a Shomer Sachar has to pay anyway. Shomer Sachar has Hayav on Gineva and Aveda.
So this
case over here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yishava, top Rashi, fourth line, Shelo Pasha, Vipater. Good. Ubigabara Mefanesh Ta'ama, Amai Patur Shomer Sachar Bishfu'ah. Why should a Shomer Sachar be patur to make Shavua? Ha belav peshi'a namehayav. Even without peshi'a, so you swore you're not a poshaya. So what? Stop the pay. She'en ze ones. They're not considering this case of ones. Ela kegeneva ve'aveda shem kerovim le'ones u'pshi'a. Which means these cases over here are more close to geneva ve'aveda than it is to ones. Therefore, the Gemara is going to ask the question. I understand a Shomer Hanam, if indeed he's not a Poshaya, he'll be Patur. So swear that you aren't a Poshaya. Masha'en Ken, even according to the Shomer Sachar, I swear I'm not a Poshaya. So what? That's like an easy case. You have a Shomer Sachar, the item got stolen. I swear I wasn't Poshaya. So what? Stop the pay. I haven't given everything without a Poshaya. So the Gemara is going to question, what is this shivwa'ah that you're putting on the Shomer Sachar when the guy trips and breaks the barrel? Okay, Rabbi El-Azhar Omer, Zevaze Yishava. Rabbi El-Azhar is just confirming what we just said. I also heard that, by the way. I also heard that both the Shomer Sachar and the Shomer Hanam, in this case over here, have to swear. But then he says, V'tameya ani, but I am shocked, im yecholim Zevaze Yishava. But I don't understand how either of them can make a shivua. Forget about only the Shomer Sachar. I don't even understand how the Shomer Hanam can make a shivua and get off the hook. So now we need the elaboration of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a bright. Ma'avir habit l'chaviro b'makom b'makom. That guy's transporting the habit from place to place. Ushbara. Broken. Ben Shomer Hanam, Ben Shomer Sachar, Yishava. Devre Rabbi Meir. Exactly like our Mishnah. Both swear. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shomer Hanam Yishava. The Shomer Hanam makes a swear that he was not a Poshaya. Nose Sachar Yishalim. Okay, Nose Sachar is like a Shomer Sachar. So he has to pay. We understand Rabbi Yehuda. Shomer Sechat pays because he's chayav. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, ze vaze yishava. He says, I heard, like the first opinion, that both swear. V'tameya ani im yichonim ze vaze yishava, but I don't know. I don't know how both of them can swear. So it's basically like a Mishnah with one Shita in the middle that makes Shaluk B'dinah Shomer Hanam and a Shomer Sechat. Now the Gemara says, Lememra, tesavar Rabbi Meir nitkal lav posheyahu. Okay. We gotta go back to what we learned in Masechet Baba Kama and the subject of Nitkal Posheya. A guy, let's say, is bringing an item. He's carrying an item. So let me give you the case. Dashi. Read Dashi first. Nitkal la Posheya. The guy that falls and breaks the barrel, is he considered a posheya or not? The kamar yishava shelo pasha peshi'a acheret. The habadai batzir minitkal lo ave. The oda poter lenoses sachar alma ones hashivle. Which means, from the fact that the B Meir allows a shomer chanam to swear that you weren't a posheya, and he lets the shomer sachar also swear, sounds like that the guy that falls with the barrel is considered like a some sort of onus of some sort. Even though in Baba Kama, we had a whole discussion when somebody's carrying a barrel, and let's say he trips, and now the barrel's on the floor. And now he didn't pick it up yet, and somebody else comes and falls on the barrel, or let's say the guy's camel just stops in the middle of the floor, and somebody comes along and falls on it. So we want to know, how do we look at the first guy? The first guy that fell and his barrel went on the ground, is he considered a posheya or not? Everybody agrees if he had enough time to pick up his stuff, then it case posheya, because you should have picked up, you had time. We're discussing a case where, let's say, he didn't have enough time to pick up the barrel and somebody else fell. Is he going to be considered guilty for such a thing? So over here it's mashma that Rabbi Meir is the opinion that says Nitkal, the guy that trips, is not a posheya. Because if you say he's a posheya, what are you making him swear for? If you say Nitkal is a what was the story of this guy? Guy's carrying a barrel, he fell. So now, if automatically you tell me you go like the opinion of Baba Kama that says the guy that falls and his barrel's on the floor is a posheya, I don't need you to swear. You're a posheya, you gotta pay. From the fact that he allows the Shomer Hanam to swear that he wasn't a posheya, that's much that a Nitkal is not a posheya. From the fact that you let the Shomer Sachar swear as well, that means you're considering it like an honest, that it's totally patu. So the Gemara says, Lememra, the Savar Rabbi Meir, Nitkal la posheya, you tell me the guy that trips is not a posheya. Again, from the fact that Rabbi Meir said that the guy's carrying a habit, he swears Shalom Pashan, he's patu from paying, that he must hold that what? That it's really not considered a posheya. The fact that you fell is not a posheya. We're making him swear to me that you weren't a posheya in something else. But the fact that you fell, that's not a pishya. And not only that, you put in even a shomer sachar. So you put in a shomer sachar, clearly you hold that the falling is not considered a pishya. But that can't be. That tanya, we have a braita. Nishpera kado. Okay, now a story. Guy was walking, the barrel broke. Venostilko, he didn't pick it up. He didn't pick up the pieces. Nafla gemela, or his camel, let's say, fell. Velo amida, and he didn't pick up the camel, and it caused damage to somebody. Rabbi Meir mechayev bezekan. Rabbi Meir says you are a chayav. Achemim amolim patu midrei adam bechayda v'neshamayim. V'kay malan the benetkal posheya peligi. And we learned the way that the machloket over here is: how do you look at a guy that tripped? The benetkal. According to Rabbi Meir, he says the guy that tripped and the barrel fell on the floor, you're a posheya. That's why if somebody else falls on it, you're going to have to pay. And Hachamim come along and say, no, Nitkal is really not a posheya, it's an accident. Therefore, you cannot mechayev and be there, Adam. Oh, so therefore, according to this, if you say that the Bimi'ir holds Nitkal is considered a posheya, so therefore, he's chayav in any damage that his cat did on the floor or his camel did. So therefore, No, the, no. If you didn't pick it up, everybody holds it's a poshaya. That's not the mahlok.
We learned
the
member.
No, he didn't have enough time to pick it up.
That's the mahlok.
We didn't have enough time to pick it up, and somebody got hurt. But you see, clearly, Bibi says he's a poshaya. So back to our story. If you hold nitkal as a poshaya, that the guy that dropped his cab in the street, it's on the floor, three of them, you're a poshaya. So what are you talking? Now I'm walking in the street. I'm a shomer hanam, let's say. I'm walking with a guy's barrel. I'm watching his barrel. I trip, the barrel falls on the floor. According to the Bimi, you should say, Hayav. No, swear. Why did I swear? If you hold Nitkalas Poshaya, what am I swearing? I swear that I wasn't a Poshaya. What do you swear a Poshaya? Nitkal is a Poshaya. Finished, this is a swear. So therefore, the Kaoran of Bimi is Soter himself. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Abil Azar, Tabra. You know what? You're right. This is a good question from the Mishnah by us to the Braita in Baba Kama. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, Nishe Shana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. The one that learned this did not learn this. Sestira, both Mishnah and Braita cannot coexist. You have to say, one rabbi said the Mishnah, the name of Rabbi Meir, and one rabbi said the Braita, the name of Rabbi Meir, but they didn't say it together. You can't square him off. Either Nitkal is a Poshaya or Nitkal is La Poshaya. The bride that held that Abimi held Nitkal is a Poshaya. Our Mishnah must have held that Nitkal is La Poshaya. So therefore, Mishnazu no Shanazu. Oh. So now we have to understand. Good. So we got Abimi Ir, the bride. Let's review. We have a bride. Abimi Ir said, Shomer Sakhar and Shomer Hanam have to swear. Because well, obviously the Mishnah is holding, the bride is holding over there, then Nitkal is considered a. Not a poshaya, so therefore you have to swear that you weren't a poshaya in something else, and therefore you'll be patur. Now the atar Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says shomer hanam yishava, nosei sachar yishalem, haiki dine vehaiki dine, and Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says no, shomer hanam will swear shelo pasha, no problem, and shomer sachar. Based on the law of a Shomer Sakhar, that is Chayav. According to the Biyuda, when he falls, he's not considered a Poshaya. And therefore, Shomer Hanam will be Patur, but a Shomer Sakhar is going to be Chayav. Because it's not considered an Ones. Not considered an Ones, therefore be Chayav. It's like Geneva Ve'Aveda. You understand what the Biyuda Shita is? It's not Ones. It's like more like Geneva Ve'Aveda. So Geneva Ve'Aveda, the Shomer Hanam can swear and get off, and the Shomer Sakhar is Chayav. Last Shita, Ba'ata Rabbi, right, not like Amishna. Ba'ata Rabbi L'Azal L'Memar, In, yes, Gemara can be Meir. I have a tradition that can be Meir that says, both Shomer Sakhar and Shomer Hanam swear. However, Umi Utameya Ani Im Yichonim Zeh V'Zeh L'Shaba. But I don't understand why both can swear. Why? Bishtama Shomer Hanam Mishtaba. I understand why the Shomer Hanam can swear. Delo Pashaba. Yeah, lo pashaba. We understand that. Ela shomer sachar amai mishtaba. Ki lo mishpasha namesh shalume ba'ayin. Exactly. Which means the shomer sachar, what is the swearing going to do? Even if he wasn't a poshaya, he still has to pay. So therefore the chara, the swearing should not do anything over here.
There's any secondary damage?
Maybe? Which means, listen, let's go slow. No, he's not an honest. Let's clarify that. Because if he's an honest, it'll be patur. It's not honest with it. So you got to look at this guy falling with the barrel. It's like in the Geneva Ve'Aveda realm over there. It's not posheya, but it's not honest. It's in the middle. Good. So for Shomer Hanam, very good. Geneva Ve'Aveda, swear you weren't a posheya, goodbye. And obviously that bright the hell that Kala posheya, swear you're a posheya, goodbye. Shomer Sakhar, okay, so you weren't a posheya. Let's make me. He swore. Okay, you're not a posheya. Good. Stop the pain. So never. What was the swearing do over there? That's one question. Go further. Va'afilu shomer chinam name. By the way, even a shomer chinam. Hatinach bimkom midron. This makes sense if the case is talking where the guy that was carrying the barrel was traveling on an incline. He was traveling on a slope. Oh, because then already you could say that Nitkal is a Poshaya. Because when you're going downhill, you could say, okay, it's not a Poshaya. However, Shilob Mkom Midron, but if the guy was traveling on flat ground, Mi Matzeh Mishtabav Delo Pasha, Can he swear that he's not a posheya? Of course, the Rebbe says, "Tol machloket of nitka la posheya." He's going downhill. Okay, you can't say he's a posheya because he's downhill. It's hard to catch his, you know, his traction. But if he's going straight, he's a posheya. So even the Shemit Hanam shouldn't be able to swear. Not only that, vafilu bimkom midron. Even if he was traveling on a slope. This is all good that you make him swear where there was no witnesses, let's say. But in the case where there's witnesses that can testify what exactly happened, let him bring witnesses and put it. Detanya, listen to the rule. Isi bin Yehuda Omer and Ro'eh. If there's no witnesses, then Shivuat Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shenehem. Ha Yesh Ro'eh. But if there's somebody that can witness that he was an honest, that it happened, Yavi Re'aya V'Yipater, and therefore Shivuah is not enough. Which means, even in a case where it was Midron. Okay, so you want to say, Midron, okay, Midron. La Poshaya, let him swear. Let him swear that it wasn't a Poshaya, because in that case, you can believe it. Wait. Even in that case over there, you got to limit it, because if there was witnesses, let's say it was a place that was populated area, we don't accept the Yeshivuah. Bring witnesses that clearly say, oh yeah, the guy tripped, or he fell, or whatever, it was honest, or something pushed, or whatever. But your own Shivuah is not going to be believed in the place where there is a witnesses. So therefore, basically, with the Gemara is coming along and asking over there, it's explaining to Bili Ezer. Bili Ezer says, by the way, I don't understand why either of them swear. Not the Shemit Hanam, and not the Shemit Sachar. The Shemit Sachar, what should he swear for? He's Hayav anyway. Even if he wasn't a Poshaya. And the Shemit Hanam, hey, what case are you talking about? If the case away, he was on flat ground, straight ground, so he's a Poshaya, by the way. What does that mean? That already, you cannot say anything. And he must be talking about a case he was talking about where it was in a slope. Oh, it was only a case of a slope. Oh, and even in a slope, it could only be a case where there was no witnesses, because if there was witnesses, then he either swears not going to help. So basically, we need to understand what the case is. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer had a question on Rabbi Meir. How could you say that both swear, the Shomer Hanam and the Shomer Sachar?
How can you say there were no witnesses?
Okay, right. That's what you have to say. You have to say that it's a limited case. Limited, okay. He said in all cases. He said, well, what are we talking about?
In any case,
therefore, he asked the questions.